Welcome to the Connecticut Department of Motor Vehicles podcast. I'm your host, Ernie Bertozzi. Governor Ned Lamont declared Monday, July 14th, 2025, as Accessible Parking Awareness Day in Connecticut. This is an issue that the Connecticut DMV takes seriously, from issuing parking we'll start from the scratch.
Don't worry about it.
Here we go. Welcome. Thank you. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Connecticut Department of Motor Vehicles podcast. I'm your host, Ernie Bertozzi. Governor Ned Lamont declared Monday, July 14th, 2025, as Accessible Parking Awareness Day in Connecticut. This is an issue that the Connecticut DMV takes seriously, from issuing parking placards to individuals who need them, to working with the community and stakeholders on a statewide level. We're joined today by Jim Politis, DMV's Director of Legislative Affairs, who is also the designated coordinator of the state's Accessible Parking Advisory Council. Jim, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me. My pleasure, Ernie.
So, Jim, let's start at a high level for this topic. Who is eligible for an accessible parking placard and what does it allow?
Yeah, good question to start off with, Ernie. I would describe it as this. Placards are issued to Connecticut residents who put an application into the DMV for the reason that they may be able to benefit from accessible spaces and that added convenience that they provide. So state law does include certain medical conditions that must be met and certified by a professional in order to receive a placard. And driving around, you may see these red colored and blue colored placards that hang from one's or from a vehicle's rear view mirror. Those are the placards themselves. And when it comes to accessible parking spaces, I think a couple of things are provided. One is proximity to a destination where someone may be going. And the other is to provide a bit more space to both get in and out of a vehicle, particularly if someone uses certain equipment to get around.
Thank you for that, Jim. DMV coordinates the Accessible Parking Advisory Council. Can you tell us a little bit about who's on the council and the work that is being done?
Sure, and happy to do it, Ernie, as I've contributed a little bit for the last couple of years to council activities. I think I'd first say a couple of things. Number one, that Commissioner Guerrera and the DMV are very proud of the agency's contributions to accessible parking and to the council itself. Also, for a little bit of background, the council was created by 2023 legislation, and it was designed to bring advocates and stakeholders together to discuss education, partnerships, and best practices having to do with accessible parking. And I would say that the council's approach has really been grounded in two things. Number one, that accessible parking should be available to those with a demonstrated need. And then number two, that there is a sense of responsibility that does come with holding an accessible parking placard. And I think, Ernie, we've learned a couple of things in these two and a half years that we've been meeting. First of all, there's some great community level work that's taking place, and there are opportunities to do more. We've also found something interesting as well. It's that Connecticut tends to be a model in the accessible parking space, whether it be formation of the council itself, preventing fraud through periodic review of our placard design, eliminating lifetime placards, and even streamlining administration. And I think some of the best council work has been really in the exchange of ideas and perspectives among advocates, medical professionals, and law enforcement. I think an important council goal is awareness, as you mentioned at the beginning. It was resulting in Monday's event and Governor Lamont issuing an Accessible Parking Day proclamation, which Lieutenant Governor Bicewicz delivered at an event on Monday. I would also add that DMV Commissioner Guerrera has been a long time and strong supporter, both when he was in the legislature and now as DMV Commissioner, in supporting accessible parking.
That's a great answer, Jim. And having sat in on a couple of those meetings with you and the council, you've done a great job coordinating the council. The members of the council have provided great information to the agency that's going to improve things as time goes on. And you're 100% right. Commissioner Guerra has been behind this topic 110%. And Jim, I wanted to ask you, while it may seem obvious, what should motorists be mindful of when it comes to accessible parking, both for the placard holder and for the person who doesn't have a placard?
Yeah, it's a great question to cover both bases, Ernie. I would start with a couple of basic thoughts. Number one is that the overwhelming majority of placard users are both thoughtful and responsible. I think the second part of that as well on the other side is that members of the larger community, perhaps those that don't use placards, I think there's a general understanding about the need for accessible parking and why it's important. I think also it's important to understand just how important certain stakeholders are in supporting responsible use of accessible parking. And those two communities particularly are the medical community, who certify conditions that ultimately lead to a placards application approval, and also law enforcement on the other side, who can participate in day-to-day both awareness and enforcement. I would add that there are some steep fines that are in state law for unauthorized use of accessible parking placards and parking spaces. And I think that message, especially using an accessible parking space if you don't have a placard, has grown roots. I think there's general understanding about that. But I think there are also a couple of things, Ernie, that's always good to keep in mind, whether you have a placard or not, and just to be aware of. And I'll list just a couple of those things for you. First of all, even for a moment, it's not okay to park in an accessible parking space if you're not a placard user. You may be preventing someone who is and who needs it from parking themselves. Folks who do not own a placard shouldn't borrow them from others. And if they are not the placard user themselves, just because the placard happens to be in the car, probably shouldn't take the convenient route of using the placard to park in a space that may be near to their destination. So if there is a placard user, you should be very skeptical about lending it out and not do that at all. You shouldn't lend it to other people. And if there's no longer a use for you to have a placard, perhaps you had a temporary condition that has improved, if the placard's expired, or if it's out of date, or if it's one that's not used anymore, either destroy it so it's not in circulation, or you can always send it back to the DMV as well, and we'll take care of it. I guess I would make one more point on that condition that may be temporary, Ernie. We do have two types of placards that are issued. One is renewable for conditions, quote unquote, that won't go away. But for temporary conditions for certain folks, there is a time limited placard. Those are the red ones you may see on folks' rearview mirrors, where for a certain amount of time, where a placard could be helpful to someone, think broken leg, think an injury to an extremity that does heal. There is a way to do it and to use accessible parking, not forever, but for a limited time. And I think those, if kept in mind, I think allow the program to remain strong and for people to keep responsibility in mind.
Well, Jim, this is all great information. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today to talk about accessible parking.
It was my pleasure, Ernie. Thanks so much.